What a powerful song for us as we worship together today. You know, I love songs like Blessings because they're songs that make us ask questions. They make us ask questions about what might be possible, about what God might be up to, about how God could create new life and new hope out of a hard situation. And isn't Mother's Day the perfect day to talk about that new life and new hope? After all, this is a day when we take time to celebrate the women who gave us life, the women who have nurtured us, the women who provide guidance and love for the journey ahead. But here's what's also true. I know for so many of us, Mother's Day can be such an emotionally loaded day. If you're someone like me and you've lost your mom to death, or if you've been estranged from a parent, this is a day that can feel especially heavy. If you're someone who's journeyed on the road of infertility and longed to be a parent, this day can feel like salt in an always open wound. If you've lost a child, or if your story simply hasn't included children because of chance or choice, this day has a way of making some of us feel like an outsider. There's something about this day in particular that can just be hard and painful. It can remind us of parts of our stories that we've lost something, of people that aren't here anymore, of dreams that feel like they might be over. And honestly, even if none of these things are part of your story, even if Mother's Day is usually a day full of celebration and brunch and flowers and cards and visits, we can't deny that this year something is just a little bit different. You know, I think about my own family's tradition of going to the zoo after church and then going out to eat afterwards at one of our favorite restaurants. That's not gonna happen this year. The visits we're used to, the people we celebrate, that all seems a little bit off. But today, even if we find ourselves missing traditions and people, we also find ourselves in a space that, while it's a little bit uncomfortable, can be holy and transformative. We find ourselves in a space where grief and pain and possibility collide. And so today, as we hear our scripture reading, which is from the book of John, and I have to admit, I'm a little biased. This is one of my favorite first grade scripture readers. But as we hear this text today, we're reminded of something so important. We're reminded that we're not the first people to find ourselves in this kind of situation. And we're reminded that when we're in these places of pain and possibility, that Jesus is right here with us. Right here and right now. So let's hear our scripture text now.
Hi, my name is Hazel. I'm 6, and today's reading is from John. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, the truth is, whether we're disciples huddled in fear in this upper room, whether we're trying to figure out how to navigate life during a pandemic, or whether we're just aware that this day each and every year is hard for us, no matter who we are, we are people whose lives are complicated. We're people whose lives hold joy and pain side by side. We're people who will experience our own failures or the failures of others around us who will be let down and will have loss. So no matter who you are, no matter where you are today, this is a story that has something to teach us. And here's what it teaches us. It teaches us that some of the best stories are born from broken places. Some of the best stories that we have to tell are born from those broken, hard places of our lives, even when we feel like maybe the story is over. Even in those moments where we don't possibly see what could come next, that fracture in our family, the conflict with a dear friend, the pain of being lonely and stuck inside your home for the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, the shame and sorrow of losing a job that you've done faithfully for years because of a change in the economy. None of this is easy. None of this feels quite right to us. But these hard and painful things, they don't have to be good or easy to understand to give birth to new and healing story in our lives. You know, I mentioned earlier that I lost my mom, and I lost my mom when I was quite young. I was only 2 years old, and I won't sugarcoat it for you. Growing up without a mom, it was hard. It was full of pain and loneliness and loss, and it shaped me in ways that I still feel today. But this hard and sad and painful thing, here's what it also did. It opened the door for a better story to be told, because it opened the door for the community that I grew up in to come around me and nurture me when I had no one to do that. See, I grew up in this little town in Indiana called Mohawk. And Mohawk is the kind of town where everyone knows each other and truthfully not a lot happens. But when something does happen, everyone feels it and everyone's affected. And you know, in this small town, when this hard thing happened, after my mom died, after a long fight with brain cancer, do you know what that town could have done? They could have looked at our family and said, "This situation is messy and hard and painful, and we don't want to get all wrapped up in it." They could have backed away. They could have said no. They could have not showed up. But that's not what happened. They did show up, and they did create something new out of brokenness. See, I was still the kid in the town that didn't have a mom. That was true. But I also had this amazing network of women that were there for me. These were women who opened their home to me, who would always be ready with snacks and hugs and advice and made sure that I was never alone. See, these women's love for me, it didn't make the hard situation go away. It didn't erase the pain, but it did make space for transformation to happen. And we see that play itself out in our text that we heard read today. See, we come into this scene with the disciples, and they are in the thick of pain. They're in the thick of their grief and their loss. And pay attention to how this text starts. It says, "It was still the first day of the week." This means that they have just found out that Jesus is alive. This means that they have had, to put it mildly, a pretty full week. Just on Friday, they watched their friend die. Just on Friday, they watched everything that they thought that they knew, that they followed, that where they thought that they were going, they watched it all end. And then just a couple of days later, they get this new news that Jesus is alive, and they're trying to make sense of what this could possibly mean. And so in this new reality that they find themselves in the midst of the chaos and all that's going on, Jesus does what Jesus does best. Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up in the middle of their chaos. And do you know what I love the absolute most about this story? I love that Jesus shows up and the hard stuff is still hard. And now I know that might seem like a really strange thing to love about an encounter with Jesus, and I'll take that. It is a little bit weird, but here's why it means so much to me. Because in this moment, when pain is still present, there is space for joy. Joy and pain are not mutually exclusive, and thank goodness for that. Because I think if we had to wait around for our pain, for our sorrow, for our grief, for our longing to go away in order for God to do something new in our lives, I think we'd be waiting around for an awfully long time. But see, Jesus doesn't wait. Jesus doesn't wait until the wounds are healed to show up, does he? And when he looks at the disciples and says, "Peace be with you," he doesn't even really fix the things that have been wrong. And I want to make sure that we don't miss this part. The joy, it doesn't have to erase the pain. If you ask any woman who's ever had a baby, she will tell you it didn't feel good bringing that new life into the world, but there was joy to be found. If you ask a family that's gone through adoption and welcomed a child into their home, they'll tell you that behind the joy of that new addition is a hard story that likely has some brokenness in it. And so when Jesus shows up, he doesn't ignore the pain. He shows the disciples his sides. He shows them the wounds on his hands. And it's in that moment when they're confronted with pain that joy begins to break through. It's in that moment when they're confronted with pain, when they have to face that hard thing that happened, that they really see Jesus among them and that they really see him for who he is. And you know, joy for the disciples and joy for us now, it doesn't come cheap. Deep joy, real transformation that changes us, that's hard won. And now I'm not naive enough to think that every difficult experience that you and I have automatically takes us to this place of holy transformation. I'm not foolish enough to think that when we run into grief and pain that our first reaction is to let God take it and make it into something new. Now I think probably our default, and we've talked a lot about default settings in this series. I think our default when we run into pain and grief is to wall right up, is to back away, to put on our armor and say, "That hurt too bad, and I never want to go there again." So I know that this isn't easy, but I also know that we have the example of Jesus. And Jesus shows up and shows them his wounds. There's no pretending with Jesus that everything's fine. There's no pretending that that hard, terrible thing of Friday didn't actually happen. There's no skating over the fact that they had a huge loss. There's none of that. Jesus doesn't show up with a false story that everything is okay. But what Jesus does show up with is an invitation to turn sorrow into joy and fear into peace. You know, my Bible reading right now during this current season has been really focused in the Psalms. And if you're someone that feels like, wow, I'm carrying a lot of grief, I'm carrying a lot of pain, I'm not really sure what to do with these things or what I could even begin to pray to God about, I really want to encourage you to let the Psalms have those words for you, to give you those words to pray and to experience. And as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of something that I read in Psalm 9, and I want to read it to you today. It says this, it says, "But you are the one who brings me back from the very gates of death, so that I can declare all your praises, so I can rejoice in your salvation in the gates of daughter Zion." You know, I wonder if maybe we find ourselves in these places of grief and loss and pain so that we can be shaped into something new. And maybe the goodness that comes out of these seasons is so much sweeter because of the bitterness of the struggle. Maybe these hard things that we wouldn't seek out, we couldn't predict, we wouldn't ask for, maybe these things give us a new place to create from. You know, one of the places that I've seen this creativity on display is through quarantine birthday celebrations. Now, if you are like me and have had a birthday over the last several weeks, you know that it's a pretty weird experience. And having a birthday when you can't really see your friends, you can't go out to eat, you can't do all of the things that you're used to doing, it's kind of a bummer. It's kind of a letdown, and it has the potential to be just a pretty bad day. But here's what I've also seen. In the middle of that weirdness, in the middle of the strange way to celebrate, people have been showing up to make it better. I saw that in my own birthday when my friends surprised me with a big Zoom call that I had no idea was coming. And I saw it in my next door neighbor Taylor's birthday parade. Now, Taylor turned 8 years old this year. And if you can think back to when you were eight, you might remember that birthdays were a pretty big deal to you. I know they were to me. And I can actually confirm that this is still true today, because as I parent a six-year-old and a three-year-old, I witness them giving me suggestions on pretty much a monthly basis of what we could do for their birthday party, which may not be for 8 more months. So birthdays, it's a big deal when you're eight. And Taylor, she had an awesome birthday planned for this eighth birthday. She was gonna take 2 or 3 friends to Great Wolf Lodge. They were gonna have a weekend of water slides and swimming in the indoor pool. It was going to be amazing. And then COVID came. And all those birthday plans had to be put on hold. But here's what was awesome. Her friends and family showed up. And she may not have gotten to go to a water park, but dozens of cars lined my street on that Tuesday afternoon, and there were people with balloons and signs and presents yelling, "Happy birthday, Taylor," and bringing joy to a situation that could have been so sad. And you know what? We were still living in isolation. The pandemic hadn't gone away. Things were still hard, but joy showed up. And here's what's awesome. I'm betting that this is not the first time you've heard a story like this, like Taylor's story. We've seen so many stories of birthday parades, of our own Sue Harris, who goes to church here. She's a nurse. She came home the other night, and her driveway was covered in chalk saying, "Thank you for being a nurse. Thank you for all you do on Nurses Day." I've gone around my own neighborhood and seen yard signs for high school seniors. People are showing up to bring joy and create something new out of a weird and hard situation. And here's what I wonder. I wonder if the reason we're drawn to these kind of stories, if the reason that we're putting so much of our energy and effort to making these things happen, is because we were people who are created to create. Because we're people who were created to create new things out of hard places. See, celebrating new life, it's not just limited to a Sunday in May, and it's not just about babies being born. New life is our God's specialty. Our God who would rise from the dead and show up in an upper room to show his friends his wounds and say there can still be joy. Because see, when it comes to Jesus, new hope, new stories, new life, there's no limit on how often those can happen. And you know, whatever we let rise up from those places of pain that get transformed, whatever healing experience we have, here's what we need to know. It's not just for us. Now, I think our individual transformation, it matters. It's important. And when Jesus showed up to his disciples, they certainly each had a moment where they saw things differently. But do you know what else was changed? Their community was changed. The way that they lived their lives with each other would never be the same. And if we allow ourselves to live fully out of our healing experiences, it doesn't just change us. It changes the people that we share life with and the places that we live. It truly has the power to change the world around us. I'm currently reading this book with our Wednesday morning pastor book study group, and we now meet on Zoom every week. And this book is called Miracles and Other Reasonable Things by Sarah Bessie. She talks about a lot of great stuff about life and faith and how to find God in the midst of grief and mess, kind of like what we're talking about this morning. But I love what she has to say about parenting and how it's about something bigger than just her own family. So I want to read this little bit out of this book to you this morning. She says, "One part of mothering, as I've experienced it, as both a receiver and a provider, is that it isn't private, no matter how personal it is to us. Our experience being mothered by God, it isn't any different in that respect. Shalom doesn't end at the false boundary of our own business. We are part of a communal renewal of all things. And I want to raise these amazing, beautiful, frustrating children to become wise and strong, kind and generous, loving and whole individuals who love God and love their neighbors well. And just as I mother my children with that end game in mind, I do believe that the Holy Spirit mothers us with an end game. It's not only our wholeness, it's also for the wholeness of the world." You know, I think one of the most tragic things that can happen when we have these experiences of pain and loss and grief is that we believe the lie that this is all there will ever be for us. We believe the lie that God can't possibly do anything with our pain and that we'll never be whole again. But here's the truth. We were created to create. And we were created by a God who is infinitely more creative than you and I. And we were created by a God who's not bound by things like pain or suffering and can always make a way for something new, no matter where we find ourselves. And so no matter what your story has looked like, no matter where you find yourself right now, this very minute, here's what I know. Joy is still possible for you. Joy is still possible for me. Joy is still possible for us. See, we can't avoid pain. Life is going to bring things to us that are hard. We're going to experience loss and longing, and it's kind of inevitable. There's not a lot we can do about it. But what we can do is we can remember that we were created to create and that our Jesus, who shows up with wounds and scars and all, we can remember that our Jesus invites us to create joy out of pain. So let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for the ways that you show up. God, we're grateful for the ways that you transform us. We're grateful for the ways that you never leave us and that you never lack creativity or imagination, even when we're sure that our pain is the end of the story. God, we pray today that you would just help us believe it too. God, we pray today that we could cling to the truth that you are a God who makes all things new. Help us live in the light of your resurrection and your grace, today and every day. Amen.